This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
All right, good evening. Welcome into the HananiaAutos.com studio for the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley. You can join us this evening, 355-NFL-1. If you're listening on the web or wherever you may be, 800-355-6351. And our broadcast tonight is brought to you every Thursday. A Crown Royal Maple, whiskey started, maple finished. Jaguars, Colts, back home. Nice to get a shot to get back home after a couple of weeks on the West Coast.
Oh, it's great. It's always good to be back home and have the opportunity to play in front of your fans.
And to get back home and sleep in your own bed. I mean, the Marriott in Fremont was nice, but it was getting old.
Yeah, though, there's a lot of truth to that. I think a lot of our coaches slept up here, though, this week. But, it's just great. I mean, to be able to see your family again and have a life again, it's good.
What's that been like, the adjustment coming back? Because I know for me, you know, it took me 2 days to kind of get back into that East Coast rhythm with the clock.
Right. Well, you know what? I thought Wednesday's practice was a really workman-type practice. I mean, guys came out. We got everything accomplished we needed. But I thought, you know, as far as spirit and things like that, it was just more of a, all right, let's work. And today it was very spirited again. Very good. Very good practice. And I think it had something to do with that, the travel coming back.
How often can you practice at that high spirit tempo? Can you go that way every day?
Well, you know what? I you know, attribute the spirit to being where it's a high competitive practice.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, where you see guys really competing. I mean, each section of practice, you're seeing strong competition take place. And it was competitive, but just maybe not as intense as, you know, a normal Wednesday.
And this week you got the Colts coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck, Robert Mathis, two talented players on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they really are. Mathis, I mean, 90-plus sacks in his
96,
career.
Yeah.
96. Very talented, playing with a high speed, high motor.
I love the way he plays again.
Yeah, he really is. It's fun to watch on tape. And then, you know, Andrew's doing very well. I mean, they've got him in an offense where – you know, he has his reads, but it's very efficient offense.
You know, we're going to talk a lot about the Colts here over the next hour, and again, you can join us 355-NFL-1. I do want to go back real quickly to Seattle, and not the game itself as much as the atmosphere that was there, and clearly that's built over the last few years. You know, Saturday night, walking around downtown Seattle, there were Seahawks jerseys everywhere, and people were talking about the game, and then you got to the stadium, and people, even though it was raining, filled up the stadium. It's a special atmosphere, and that's what you're really trying to build here at EverBank Field, isn't it? I mean, something very similar.
Yeah, and you know what? We have very spirited fans, and I know that, you know, the attendance and things like that where the numbers aren't where we want them to be as of now. But I understand that, and I know it will come. Football is very, very important here.
Right.
Very important.
The key follow-up, I guess, is that playing well at home is how you create
you do.
That sort of environment.
And it's one of our objectives is to play well at home and, you know, to do very well at home.
And a lot of people are going to be anxious to see your starting quarterback back in the lineup this week. Blaine Gabbert's going to get the start. How's he been this week in practice?
Done really well. I think, you know what, he showed up on Sunday, or actually last Friday before the Seattle game, threw the ball, did some good things, got his stitches taken out on Sunday, came back Wednesday, took most of the reps, did well. And, you know, missed some throws here and there, like what you would expect. But then now today, very good. Very good practice by Blaine.
You had mentioned on Monday when you said that he was going to be your starter that you talked about him capturing what he did in practice on Friday, where he played loose and kind of, I don't want to say fancy free, but, you know, kind of was himself. Did you see some of that this week?
Well, yeah, I did. You know what? Especially today, in today's practice. And, you know, and we said, you know, it's okay to take risks. You know, it's okay to take shots. And that's the only way you have a chance to be really good. And, you know, I think that we just showed our support to him and just said, hey, you know what, we've got your back. You know, be free back there. And, you know, make good decisions and be smart with the ball. But, you know, if he has to extend the play, that's okay. And try to make something happen on the run, you know, we have no problems with that.
When you say I got your back, is the quarterback position very different than any other?
Well, I think it's seen differently. You know, I think.
But is it treated differently?
It is.
Does it have to be?
No, it probably doesn't, but I think he feels that whoever's playing quarterback at that time feels more of the burden on him to really be the leader. And but it's the same thing with a guy like Jonathan Cyprian. You know, he's back there at strong safety. And we know at times there might be a mistake here or there, but we're looking at the full body of work. Is he playing aggressive? Is he attacking the ball? Is he within his responsibilities playing really aggressively, like I said before? And he is. I think he needs to understand that we don't want him to play cautious, to play hesitant. And it's the same mindset for the quarterback. Why should it change? And they should feel that same support.
Are you having to coach against Blaine's normal personality?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, anybody wants that backing. Anybody wants that support, especially from the head coach.
But I meant in terms of risk-taking. I mean, is he a guy who's a ball protector? I mean,
well,
some guys are.
Well, we really preach it now. I mean, that's one of the most important facets of our program is the ball. And our running backs, our receivers, we haven't had a turnover by those guys. I mean, D-Rob had the one in the Wildcat. But, you know, we're a ball carrier as a receiver, a running back as a ball carrier for, 6 weeks now. So they've done a tremendous job with the ball, tremendous job. And I think, you know, we really preach it over and over again, and I think that's important. But we don't want to take away from the quarterback taking some of those chances.
All right. Blaine Gabbert is back, and the Jaguars are as well at Everbank Field for Sunday's kickoff against the Colts. And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gade. You'll find snacks and food and drinks and everything you're looking for on game day when you visit Gade. More to come with the head coach of the Jaguars. The Gus Bradley Show is back after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, live from the HananiaAutos.com studio inside Everbank Field. Coach, talking a little bit about this Colts team. It had always been a pass-first team with Peyton Manning. Obviously, though, last week, Andrew Luck runs for 2 touchdowns. I mean, they ran the ball for 179 yards. How balanced is this team this year?
Well, I think with the big pickup they got with Richardson, you know, you can tell what their philosophy wants to be. You know, establish the run. And, you know, really a ball control type offense. Make good decisions by Andrew and keep it, you know, their defense off the field. And they do that. They really did a good job executing their scheme, their game plan against San Francisco, and very efficient.
And you could kind of tell that was going to be their philosophy long term, because last year they drafted Dwayne Allen, tight end, very good blocker, who's on IR. They spend money in free agency with Gosder Chairless. They draft a guy in the third round who's their starting left guard. So you could see him headed there.
Yeah, I think they had that mindset, you know, with their record where they were last year. Hey, let's get a couple guys to put us over the edge. And, you know, they proceeded accordingly.
Trevor from Montreal is our first caller this evening with a thought about the defense. Trevor, welcome to the Gus Bradley Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. Trevor. How you doing?
Great, thanks. Listen, I just wanted to say I've been a diehard Tigers fan for as long as I can remember. And I just turned 30 the other day, and my girlfriend's flying me to Jacksonville.
You know, we're going to have to put you on hold, and it's just not working, Trevor. So we'll get Joe or John to pick up the phone and get your question, and we'll pass it back along to the head coach, because that is just a difficult...
A little static.
Yeah, difficult one to make our way with. Ahmad Bradshaw, though, was the lead running back last weekend. A guy from, obviously, New York, signed as free agent, 95 carries. Is this going to be a platoon system based on what you saw last
week? Yeah, you know what? It looked like they were trying to involve Trent a little bit more as the game went on. But, you know, now that he's had a full week of practice, we expect to see him, you know, even more. But Ahmad now, the last couple of weeks, you could see him each week. It's like he's getting more and more comfortable in the system. And the rushes, you know, show it.
And when you watch those two guys, they kind of got different traits. You know, Ahmad Bradshaw, you would think, would be better maybe at running that zone because he's a slasher. And Trent Richardson is maybe a true power back as there is in the league.
Yeah, very strong back Trent is. You know, when he hits it downhill, he'll make people miss now too, and you'll see players bounce off him. It's like we talked to our defense. You know, you have to have a tackling plan for both of them, mm-hmm. and you have to be really aware who's in the game and their running style and the types of runs that you may see with each.
Where's your run defense after the Seattle game? I mean, Marshawn didn't light you up, did not come away with a huge day.
Well, you know, we went in that game thinking, you know, we got to take, you know, the Marshawn away as much as possible. And, you know, also, you know, some of the read option. That hurt us in the past couple of games. So, you know, then the bootlegs came up and they affected us some. So, you know, I think our players, you can just tell the way the conversations are going in our meeting rooms. It feels like each week they're getting a better understanding of how some of these fits take place. And, you know, we'll see. This will be a great challenge for us now. It's more of a traditional two-back, one-back run game. You know, they'll line up, we'll line up, and let's see who can, you know, win at the point of attack.
And stopping the run really is paramount for your defense, isn't it? I mean, that's the foundation of a Gus Bradley defense.
It really is. You know, that's got to be, you know, what we're all about. And, you know, it starts with that. And, you know, there's conversations about some of the explosive plays that have occurred, and they do. We had far too many against Seattle, 11 explosive plays, you know, when the average in the NFL is like 6 or 7 a game. So way above what we want to be at. And, you know, at times we choose to be aggressive with our corners, playing press alignments and really challenge routes. And with a single safety middle, you have occasions to where you can give up explosives, but just 11 is too many.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Is the tackling okay? Are you happy
with
that?
Yeah, you know what? It's not too bad. We missed some tackles at the point. What I thought we did a nice job in Seattle, although the score didn't reflect it, was our effort to the ball. If he did get loose, there was someone generally there to, you know, to clean up the hit. And, you know, so we can always improve on it. But, boy, just watching games, you know, especially like these cut-ups with Indy and Oakland, there's a lot of missed tackles being taken place around the league. It's really shocking. And, you know, I don't know what to attribute it to, but, you know, even the San Francisco game against Indianapolis, a lot of missed tackles by the 49ers.
The guy that impressed me in that game, and it wasn't perfect, but he impressed me, is Jonathan Cyprian. And the play that really stands out in my mind was when he came off the edge and he got the sack calls fumble. You know, everybody would say, wow, you know, he got a great strip, you know, which is great awareness.
Right.
But I go back to the move that he put on Marshawn Lynch on the pass rush where he chopped the arm. I mean, how many rookie safeties do you ever see that have that awareness?
He really is playing at a high level. And I think it's only going to get higher for him. You know, we're quick to pass judgment, and we don't want to blow it out of proportion. But just the strides he's made from the first game till now is pretty impressive. And the world has become smaller for him. And out on the field, you know, and I think he's really locked into doing his job. He's really locked into his responsibilities. And, you know, a team may get him here and there on certain concepts, but rarely does it happen twice.
All right, so tell us about Andrew Luck, the scrambling quarterback. I mean, he's obviously different than Terrell Pryor or Russell Wilson.
Right.
This is a guy who scored on a 19-yard touchdown run. He's got 2 this season, 7 since the start of last season, which leads all NFL quarterbacks since the beginning of 2012.
Yeah, a completely different style now. Really strong quarterback. You know, there's a San Francisco brought a pressure, and a linebacker hit him right at the point of attack, you know, coming through the A-gap, hit him, and he bounced off him, and Andrew Luck went in and scored a touchdown. And, you know, it's really impressive. And that's another guy that we have to have a plan for. When he gets out of the pocket and can run, you almost have to treat him like a running back.
There's not very many quarterbacks you have to have a tackling plan for.
Yeah.
You know, he's big, really. 6'4", 240.
Yeah, he's big, you know, and strong.
He reminds me of John Elway. Because
yeah.
John used to have guys do that occasionally when you know, because I remember getting ready to hit John. I was like, you got to bring it and you got to wrap him.
Right. And, you know, I think you put him in the category of a competitive running quarterback, because when he does decide to run, it's not just to get as many yards as he can and then, you know, go down. He's really running with a purpose, and he's competitive as far as trying to get as many yards as he can.
Kind of like Jay Cutler on Sunday Night Football against the Steelers. Did you see that?
No,
he put
I
his
did.
Shoulder down and took on Palomalu?
Yeah. No, I haven't had a chance to see that.
A little too competitive probably for your quarterback. All right, we've got much more to come here on the Gus Bradley Show, which is brought to you this evening by Presentation Resource Incorporated. We'll be back. You're listening on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, rolling right along. We've been talking about the Jaguars' run defense, finding a way to slow down what is a very good Colts rushing offense, 179 yards in San Francisco. Let's turn the tables, Coach, and talk a little bit about getting your ground game going. Obviously, that's been the personality in Jacksonville for a number of years. From what you've seen on tape the first 3 weeks, what do you have to do better this week against the Colts?
Well, I think, you know, the toll operation, just, you know, the communication that takes place up front. We're becoming more aggressive up front, which we like to see. I think we went from, you know, 15 cuts to 30 cuts to 45 cuts. And
when you say cuts, what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the offensive line cutting at the line of scrimmage, because sometimes in the zone scheme, you're looking for vertical seams, you know, where the, you know, D-line is at different levels than the linebackers. And when you do that, it gives a chance for cutback seams and, you know, gives more opportunity for a running back.
So you're counting number of effective cuts that have increased each week.
Yes, okay. Very much so on our offensive line. And that's a mentality. And I know they haven't done as much with that here in the past, some of our players, but they've really started to buy into it. And some of our more effective runs in Seattle were because of cuts.
What's a good number of cuts?
Well, I mean, depending on the number of run plays you get, the number of zone plays that you run, you know, we're hoping to get up in the 60s, okay. You know, somewhere like that in the game. So, you know, it's physical style of ball, too. I know, you know, in talking to some of those guys, you know, Red Bryant got banged up. Another D lineman got banged up, a linebacker. So that style where we're starting to become more physical is really where we want to get to.
Getting more physical could help if you get Mercedes back this week. How's he been?
He's had a good week. Came back yesterday, practiced again today, did a nice job. I think it's his final preparation now as far as taking care of the injury. We'll know more tomorrow, but on all accounts, it looks like he should be back.
You know, most listeners, they probably think, well, that's great because that gives Blaine Gabbert the opportunity to have another weapon, another veteran guy who can catch the ball. But, you know, Jeff has pointed out through the years that this guy's a tremendous run blocker. I mean, what he gives you, can you put that into terms that
Right. Listeners
would understand?
Well, you know what? A lot of times your point of attack is at the tight end. And, you know, a three-man blocking surface, you know, you run away from as well, and his cutoff blocks are important. But when you can establish at the point of attack a physical-type tight end like Mercedes is, it just, you know, it can really give you some options. And on top of that, when you can establish the run, it opens up some of the play passes as well.
And you get him back this week, possibly. And then next week, Justin Blackman, all of a sudden, hey, the band's back together.
Yeah, you know what? You know, we're just really focusing on this week right now and putting our game plan ready for Indy, and, you know, time will tell.
355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. How's Mojo this week?
You know what? I give him a lot of credit. You know, he came back. We worked him out prior to the game in Seattle. And, you know, I wouldn't say he's 100%, but, you know, he wanted to go. And, you know, he really did a good job as far as, you know, for the team, his leadership. And he wanted to play in that game as well as this week. And, you know, so it's a little bit, I'm sure, sore for him. And, you know, where he feels it off and on. But, you know, his mentality and his work ethic has been, you know, top shelf.
You talked earlier in the week about not necessarily scheme change, but maybe, you know, different variety mix of running plays. And Maurice is one of his favorite plays because he calls it God's play, is the power O.
Right.
Which you guys ran against Seattle a couple times, and it worked very well. Could you possibly lean a little bit more one way or the other?
Well, you know, with that, our offense, you know, some teams are just completely zone teams. Some teams are gap schemes. We have both. And we did that so it would give us flexibility. And that's why sometimes when you have both like that, the learning curve, the communication that takes place in the offensive line, it might take a little bit longer. But what we're looking at is the big picture. It gives us more options, just as it did against Seattle. You know, we went zone scheme. We went back to gap schemes. We had some success. So we'll see this week, you know, what we have options, definitely.
The guy that I thought has improved, much like Jonathan Cyprian, Luke Jokel, a couple times on the double team with Uche. I mean, it looked like a bulldozer.
Yeah, very, very, very athletic. And he's going through a learning curve. You'll see 5-6 plays where he's doing really well and then might turn his shoulders on a pass protection and get beat. You know, but he's quick to learn and very prideful, very prideful. So we have high expectations for Luke that, you know, he's going to be a really, really good player. He's just so athletic.
You know, if Maurice is still a bit sluggish or not 100%, do you see the guys behind him being able to carry more of the load?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, it might not be like what you normally see with Mojo. But he had, 18 carries last week? And you know, I think there's some things with Todman, you know, it's more of a change of pace. And, you know, it's a change of pace for the defense as well. So, but, you know, we've got all the confidence in the world in Mojo. And, you know, we just got to get him going, and we got to help him with some of our schemes.
And historically, he's done very well against the Colts. He's got 800-yard games, averages almost 107 yards a game. You know, scored 14 touchdowns against them. So he gets up. Yeah. I saw him in the locker room today. His eyes were bright. I mean, this is a game he looks forward to playing.
Well, and, you know, he's up every game. And, you know, I think sometimes it's what the defense allows you to do, and then as an offense, what we take advantage of. So we got to take advantage of those opportunities to get him going.
All right, we break here at the bottom of the hour on the Gus Bradley Show. 30 more minutes with the Jaguars head man when we return on the Jaguars Radio Network. All right, rolling right along here with the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Jeff Loggeman's alongside. You can join us 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You challenged Cecil Shorts before the Raiders game to kind of play above the X's and O's and not let things bother him. He came out with, what, 8 catches?
Well,
last week?
You know, Cecil, it's not hard. He challenges himself so well. He's so competitive. And it's so important to him. And, you know, he went out there. He's done a nice job for us. But just to see him go out there and have the success that he did against Seattle is great for him. He's so deserving.
There were two or three other things that he could have caught, too. I mean, it could have been a huge day.
But how important is it to have a guy like that as a starter, as a productive player, have the work ethic to be an example for the young guys? I mean, he's still young.
Yeah, he is. I mean, we talk about him like he's an 8-year veteran, you know, and can and share his wisdom with our younger players. And, you know, he's still learning himself. But, boy, we're just so fortunate to have him within our organization.
Guy that can set the tempo.
He's one of the guys that when practice is going on, you can't help but have your eyes gravitate to watch him and how he works in his precision.
And he's the one that when you're walking in, he's still out, you know, catching balls off the jugs machine or working with their younger players. And he's out there before practice starts and after practice. It's just incredible work ethic.
So after practice today, 90% sure Ace Sanders is going to get a shot as a punt return guy?
Yeah, we'd like to give him a chance. You know, we have some injuries at the wide receiver spot. But, you know, I think it's a situation where, you know, that's the reason why we drafted Ace. And he has done really well at wide receiver. But, you know, we need to get him back there. So hopefully with some of these injuries and stuff, we can still, you know, afford to get him back there.
Mike Brown, he's had, what, last two games inactive with a back. I guess the article talking about, you talked about how he's got this microfracture type of thing in his back. Is this a long-term type of thing, or is this something that he's going to be able to recover from?
Well, he's got a fracture in his lumbar transverse process, you know, a couple of them, and it's very painful.
You sound like a doctor.
Yeah. How about that? But it is. It's very painful for him. And, you know, when he first had it, just to sit down was painful. And Mike's probably one of our toughest guys, you know, in this building. And, you know, he went through it. He's seeing some progress. And I think he's frustrated, to be honest with you, because he wants it to happen faster. And it's one of those things, it just takes some time. But hopefully here in the next week or so, you know, he makes good enough progress where you can get him back.
You know, for a guy like that who spent a lot of time on the practice squad last year and was brought up for a very short period of time, then to win a spot in training camp, that has to be incredibly difficult to sit and watch, because when you finally get your chance, you get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, a great person, great competitor, and then, you know, not to be able to compete and not to be able to go out there and help the team. You can only imagine what he's going through, but he'll be back, and when he comes back, you know, we'll welcome him with open arms.
Been working on some of the staticky phone lines that we're getting here this evening. Let's see if we can get Rick on the north side through loud and clear. Hello, Rick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. I can hear you. Sorry.
Great.
Quick question, Coach. With the new fast break offense being a hot thing in NFL, is there rules in place in NFL to allow you substitutions or the chance to substitute players without the, you know, before the umpire sets the ball ready to get you guys on or off the field? I'll take it off the air.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, you know, you hear about all these high tempo offenses and you know, when there's substitutions take place on the offensive side, they have to give you time to substitute defensively. So that's why you see the umpire standing on the ball or by the ball. And, you know, he's got to give us time to substitute freely, get our guys in position, and then they'll move back. But when they keep the same personnel group on the field, then, you know, you substitute at your own risk.
How difficult is it to coach defense in that up-tempo offense?
Well, what they're trying to do is really limit your calls or really challenge you to have a system to where you can get calls in a hurry. And, you know, some of the calls are lengthy, so it really challenges you to come up with code words, and everybody's got to be on the same page with them. But we have a pretty good system, I think, of handling a no-huddle offense that we incorporated. We used in the preseason. We introduced it to our players. But it does limit your calls at times.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's step aside for another break. More with the Jaguars head coach when we return to the Gus Bradley Show, which you're listening to on Jaguars Radio. All right, roll on along with the head coach. Gus Bradley is in. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Slow news day. One of the biggest items on Twitter was that Denard Robinson is no longer classified as an offensive weapon. You had to make him a running back.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry,
know.
Wide receiver.
Yeah, the NFL, I guess the policy. I just found that out today as well. So, yeah, that you know, he'll play both positions. But
I was going to say, why wide receiver as opposed to running back?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's playing more running back probably, you know, so far. But he'll be split out for us. And, you know, I think they just wanted to make that declaration.
Does having a play like he had in Seattle discourage coaches from maybe dialing up a play like that again?
No, you know, I think for us, you know, we see him every day and we see his athleticism. I think he's still figuring out the running back spot, and you know, we just got to find opportunities. You know, when you do get behind, you know, it forces you to more of a little bit more of a passing game. And you know, if we can get our run game going and get multiple carries, we're getting, you know, we'd like to get around 30 carries a game. And when you do that, then he should get more reps.
During the game this past weekend, Brian, you did ask me a question about if you're Jed Fish, what do you call?
Right.
And my response was, when you don't have a groove, that may be the toughest situation, is to try to find something that you're comfortable with.
Right. And you know, and Jed does a great job with that. He's, you know, got these calls that we say, okay, these things, you know, we feel like, you know, our guys can go up and line up and execute. And it might not be so much attacking their scheme, but just we know exactly what to do, and now let's go do it. And but at times it is difficult. You're trying to, you know, and then, you know, at the receiver spot, like this week, you know, we're going to have two new receivers probably playing. And, you know, to quickly find out what their strengths are and how to utilize them. And then next week it might be somebody different. And I think, you know, really it's been a great challenge for our offensive staff in that we're starting to get to know everybody real quick.
And at 0-3, how challenging is it as a staff to just maintain the focus? Because, hey, when you're not getting that positive feeling sometimes, that's hard.
Right. I think it really is my responsibility as a head coach. I think, you know, that I should dictate, you know, the feeling and where we're at. And I think it's important to me to protect that culture and say, hey, just really concentrate on getting these guys better. Let's develop these guys that are on a practice squad, develop these guys that are twos and threes, you know, help the ones get even better, and to create a culture that, you know, that can take place. And not only for our team, but for also for our coaching staff.
I was just about to ask how much of that translates to the
coaches. Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, the last thing you want to do right now is for our staff or our team to feel any panic. And we're not even close to that. Our team has been outstanding. You know, it hurts them. It bothers them. And just like I said, you know, be happy with your effort, but don't be pleased with the result.
You know, I mean, we were both here last year, and when things turned sour and they stayed sour, it felt bad. This doesn't feel bad. I mean losing isn't feel good, don't get me wrong, but
right.
You don't stand in the locker room and see a bunch of guys thinking for themselves or feeling bad for themselves. It's that culture that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's taken root.
It's something I've never seen anything like it now with our guys. I give them a lot of credit. It hurts them, you know, when we don't come out with a victory. But you know what? Their attitude and their conversations taking place in the locker room, outside the locker room, with the media, it's something I've never seen it before.
Have you ever been 0-3?
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. It's different. That's
it
why
is.
I asked, because it's not easy.
No. But, you know, I really like the attitude of our guys. And I think that's why you're seeing stats come out that show the progress is being made. And that's a credit to our players. It all starts with attitude, and they've had a great attitude.
All right, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. This break, then we come back with more with head coach Gus Bradley on the Jaguars Radio Network. Hey, Jaguars fans, game day starts with you. Introducing the Everbank On the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jaguars home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the chance to lead the Jaguars onto the field. The Jaguars will be hungry on game day and need you to lead them on the prowl. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. Visit everbank.com/prowl today, because the next Jaguars home game could start with you. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
All right, welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, of course, the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Grab a phone call here. Mary is downtown. Hello, Mary. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I didn't have a question. I just had a comment, and I just wanted to say that I, as well as my family and friends in Section 123 in the North End Zone, are here for the long haul. We feel your pain. We're also looking forward to that first win when we feel that pleasure and that happiness. And we stay till the end of every game, like the total end, when it's completely over and we don't leave early. And I just wanted to say thank you for being our coach, and thanks to all the coaches and the players. We do appreciate it.
Oh, Mary, that's great. You know, we talk about a genuine appreciation. I can feel that was a genuine comment. And, you know, it's awesome. Mary, you're like so many of the fans here. And believe me, part of the reason why we work so hard and our players work so hard is because of your pride and what you bring to the table. And you guys are so deserving of having success. And it's our job to bring it to you. And we have a philosophy, we have a culture, we have everything in place that we feel so strongly about that it's going to, you know, bring that feeling for you as quickly as possible.
How has the I don't want to say the stress, because stress is self-inflicted.
Right.
How is the relationship with you and Dave now that you're into the season and you're 0-3?
I think it's even stronger. It's incredible. He's, you know, we talk every day, and it's not for 10 minutes. You know, I think sometimes head coaches and GMs might not talk till Friday, or if they do talk during the week, it's just a minute talk and that's it. But not with Dave and I. We talk about everything, and just on the same page with anything dealing with our players, their approach, and it's really a unique situation.
Tell us a little bit about your challenge with Reggie Wayne this week. I mean, here's a guy, 13th season, who has, what, he needs 14 catches to hit 1,000. I mean, he's got more than 13,000 receiving yards in his career. I mean, the numbers just go on and on and on with this guy. He's so crafty. That's the thing about him.
He is. You know what? And how about this? You know, as far as a receiver for them, you would think that receiver T.Y. Hilton would have the most explosive plays because of his speed, but it's not. It's Wayne. And, you know, he might not be as fast as Hilton, but so crafty. And third downs, that's who they're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you talk about crafty, there was a play against the 49ers where it's an in route. And then when he makes his turn, he peeks across the field to see where the next guy is at in the next zone. And then when he goes to attack the ball, he knows where he's at. He comes back and attacks the ball, avoids the next guy in the next zone completely. It's just fun to watch.
Well, you know what? And I know one of the things that he brings to the table for Indy is his wisdom and his experience. And I think that he's really not only set the culture for their wide receiving group, but it was so important for Chuck to have him as a member of the team, because he brings that stability, brings that wisdom, and knows, you know, the standard that's set.
How does the energy and the youth then of your safeties and corners overcome the age and treachery that that comes with a guy like that? How do you play that?
Right. Well, I think it's a lot of film study, and you know, but it's a you know, 6-day schooling period, and they're trying to get as much information. But, you know, we really want to focus on us and what we need to do. Because if you start saying, okay, he does this, 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 and this, and now I'm going to do that, That's when you get beat in other facets, and you can just spin your wheels. So I think, you know, getting our players to really trust their preparation and perform on Sunday using their preparation is the key.
And going against Reggie, will you have Alan Ball to go against him this week?
Yes, you know, Alan Ball will be back. He practiced yesterday, limited, but today he was, you know, taking majority of the reps and feels really good. So much better than he did last week.
And your other corner, the starting corner, Dwayne Grotz, how is the high ankle coming along?
Well, he's made progress. You know, he's in the pool now. He's riding the bike. He's doing, you know, light running. So we'll see. You know, I don't know if it's going to be next week. We'll have our fingers crossed on that, but if not next week, hopefully the week after.
All right, we have one more commercial timeout in the Gus Bradley Show. We'll take it now and return to wrap it up after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Brian Sexton with Jeff Loggeman and head coach Gus Bradley. For those of you in Jacksonville, go nowhere. Tony Boselli, Mark Brunell will enter the studio as the head coach goes back to the coach's suite for Jaguars Thursday.
Gus, you know Chuck Pagano at all?
Yes, I do.
A remarkable story from in his life last year.
Incredible story. You know what? I was at the owners' meetings this year, and you know, a lot of the coaches were gathering on the south end of this hotel complex. And my wife and I went and sat at the north end, and there was a bench there, and we were the only two there. And there was another bench that was empty next to us, and it was probably about 40, 50 yards across. And Chuck saw us sitting there, and him and his wife came up and sat and talked to us, and we visited for quite a while. He's really a good person, really a good person.
Yeah, it's a year this week that he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
Said that he took his wife's advice, and how many coaches do that during the course of a season? You get so wrapped up in what you're doing. Went to the doctor, and it saved his life.
Yeah. I mean, incredible story. Incredible story. But you know what? The players love him, I understand. And he's always had that impact, whether it was at University of Miami or Baltimore or, you know, now at Indy. And he does a really good job with those guys.
Any other connections on that staff that the Colts staff that you may have? Because it seems like every week there's, you know, when they put out the press releases, there's, you know, the way coaching profession is.
Right.
I mean, it's a band of gypsies sometimes.
It is, you know, and it's such a small fraternity. And you know what? It's different than college now. You know, in college, when you're facing a team, it's a love-hate deal because you recruit against them. And I think in the NFL, what I've realized is a little bit different because a lot of the assistants, they don't know who's going to be the next head coach off the staff. And it seems like it's, you know, it's treated a little bit differently.
Special teams, we obviously hit at the end of the show. I don't know why we do that. Obviously, it's one of the more important components there. We talked a little bit about Ace Sanders back there. When you look at this team, T.Y. Hilton's a guy with great speed.
Great speed, yep. Yeah, he really is. On offense, it shows up, and on special teams. And whenever you have a guy back there that's that fast, you know he always has the opportunity to break one.
Well, and let's give the UVA product, Leroy Reynolds, a little love. Loggy will if we don't.
I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, yeah, he's starting to really show himself on special teams. Who else? Tell us about
you know
Leroy.
But Leroy, he's had a good week now. He had an interception in practice yesterday, spirited practice today. You know, I think he's starting to.
My next question.
Yeah, he's starting to get more and more comfortable and you know, to express himself on the field as well. And I think, you know, it's showing up on special teams. And the first week, you know, he had a missed tackle, I think, on a punt return. But since then, you know, I know Mike Mallory's been very impressed with his abilities.
Could he be a guy that will find a way to get playtime snaps on defense?
Well, yeah, those guys are getting a lot of reps. You know, normally when you get 10 reps in a period, you know, the first group might get, you know, 7 or 8 of them, and the seconds get 2. Well, you know, we're kind of splitting them up a little bit more. We're going 6 and 4 at times, and it's trying to develop depth with our younger guys.
All right, Jaguars and Colts Sunday. Coach, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah,
tonight.
No, it's awesome. Thank you so much.
Best of luck to you the rest of the week.
Appreciate it.
All right, we're back with Jaguars Thursday for those of you in Jacksonville, and we'll be back on Sunday for those of you around the network. Have a great night, everybody.